Holy Spirit, we thank you. You're our teacher. You're the one that reveals truth to us. You're the one that will guide us and convict us as well, Lord God, but also encourage us and build us up. We also know that spiritual gifts come from you. So we praise you, we thank you. And we come today as we learn together. You will speak to us. Open our hearts, open our mind, open our spiritual ears to hear from you what you want to speak to us, Lord God. We praise you, we glorify your name. Amen. So I remember last year, actually before Christmas, I was looking back to my notes. And one of my teaching was actually called concerning spiritual gifts. And I was saying about, I feel that God is moving us in the place of opening door for spiritual gifts. And I actually forgot about that message. And then I saw it last night, I think, oh, wow. And when we were in the church retreat, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We also talk about spiritual gifts. And last week, I gave them the questions, and it's according to 1 Corinthians 12 about spiritual gifts. And one of the questions is, what's the connection between spiritual gifts and unity? Because when we read through the Bible, all the places where I talk about spiritual gifts, actually at the same time talk about unity. And it's very important. I don't know when you guys split up into different groups, what did you guys talk about? Did you focus on the first question or the second one? The first question was about share your own experience when you have received somebody else who have used spiritual gifts and has really blessed you. So maybe whatever I'm preaching, you guys already share it last week. You already have the message. That would be great. So I just want to expand on that, maybe explain some of the spiritual gifts. What does it mean? Maybe not all of us, not everybody are familiar. You might have heard the word, but what does it actually mean? What is their function? We might not all understand it or know it. So that's what I'm going to unpack some of that today, and why we need it. Why would it help to build unity? And some of them will be very challenging for us. Some people don't like that word. I was talking to another pastor. He was saying, maybe you shouldn't use that word. And I'm thinking, why? Challenge is actually good for us. We might not like it. But challenge actually stretch us. That actually help us to grow. We might not like the process of it, but it's like athletes or if somebody wants to lose weight. If we don't have the challenge, we will keep doing the way that we've been doing things. But challenge actually help us to break through in wherever we are now to make us either grow stronger or have greater ability or to be stronger in our mentally, spiritually, as well as physically in all of those areas. So challenge are good. So I'm sorry if you don't like that word, but I'm going to keep using it. And I want us to be a church that embrace that word, because when we embrace that word, we are growing in maturity, and that's a good thing for all of us, whether it's for our kids. We want our kids to be challenged. Otherwise, if they're learning 2 × 2 × 2 = 4, if they're still doing that when they're 12, they're not being challenged. So we challenge our kids, so we should challenge ourselves too. Challenge each other, but we encourage each other and help each other grow. And that's a good thing. And as a lot of the spiritual gifts are in different passages in Corinthians, 1 Peter, Ephesians. And I'm going to just talk about some of those spiritual gifts. Some of those are more of a calling office. Then they're more like God will say, call you out and say, I want you to be this. A lot of the time will have a greater impact for maybe a church or a regions or even a whole nation, countries. And some of them will be a spiritual gift. It's good for us personally, whether it's for our family. So some of the gifts, a lot of the gifts is the Holy Spirit will give it to us. The callings are different. But some of the gifts are, we can all ask for it. We can pray, Lord, I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to have that giftings because it's good for me. So that's difference. There's, we have the first one would be apostles. And in the Greek word, apostle means a messenger, one sends forth with orders. So God sent them out. A lot of the people who are missionaries, they might have that. And a lot of people will say, oh, apostles only in Acts in the time of Jesus. But a lot of people believe we still have that callings of people being sent forth. God called them out. God will give them dreams and visions. And a lot of even prophetic words from other people keep saying, I feel God is calling you to do this. I feel this is your calling. So that's apostle. And then the next one would be prophets. And the prophets will have, you actually have a people who maybe hear a message from God and they'll be able to give it to another person. But even as prophets, you'll have the office of prophets. Somebody actually God given them an office. So they will have a prophetic word for a large group of people or to church or even to nations. Or to be able to sense God, what God is saying now to the world, for the whole body of Christ in the church community. And then you have people who have prophetic giftings, which kind of link quite strongly to word of knowledge. So I might be able to sense God is saying this to you now, today. But it will be a word for you for maybe next year. And it'll be encouraging. And then you could hold on to that word and you say, oh, I remember that. God has spoken to me about that using somebody who used the prophetic words. So each one of those gifts, if really, really, really digested, unpacked it, each one of them could be the whole teaching, especially like prophetic words, because we get prophetic words a lot. And a lot of people will have that giftings, how to use it, how to operate in it. When do you sense it is just for one person? How do you sense when it's a lot bigger crowd? And how do you even give and present the words? Those are all very important. We used to have JC from America who come and speak to the church, and he would have that prophetic gifts. JC is not short for Jesus Christ. That's short for his name is, whatever Steve said. But he will have that prophetic gift that speak to a church. And we invited him. And when he's, after his teaching, he will also have a prophetic word of what God is speaking to each one. So he might call somebody out here and say, God is saying this. And it'll be for the coming season of what you need. You might not understand fully, but you'll see that actually come to pass. And I remember asking him about giving prophetic words. And he said that just because you have a prophetic word, you need to learn how to present it. He said that sometimes it's more dangerous of having prophetic word when you don't know how to give it. You end up blasting everybody to pieces and everybody actually feeling like, I don't want to receive any word from you ever again. Please stay away from me. So those are very important. So if you like that, if you're actually drawn to those or you felt that somebody have actually spoken to you about you, God has given you that word, it would be good to read and talk to people who operate in that giftings and learn about it. And then the next one will be evangelists. This is not talking about all of us are called to speak and share the gospel, but the evangelist will be somebody who is devoted to the preaching of the gospel. And there might be a preaching from city to city or church to church. It's a calling that they actually, this is they what they eat, drink, and sleep. That's all they can think about. This is their passion. And then you have also people who have a calling, who is a pastor. In a Greek word, is a shepherd. Somebody who gifted in leading, guiding. A lot of the pastors will have giftings in teaching, but not all teachers are pastors. And a lot of the people who have an evangelist mindset, they might become pastors because they keep preaching the gospel and people keep listening to him. They want them to continue to teach them. So sometimes they might end up becoming pastors, but they might struggle because they never like being a pastor. They don't want to lead, but they found themselves becoming a pastor. But their heart is still to do evangelists, to go on the street preaching to the gospel. So pastors, you can have people who have a pastoral heart, but they might not be pastors. They might not have that title. Like in Cornerstone Church, Caroline, Paul's wife, Paul Perry's wife, she has a pastoral giftings and a pastoral heart, but she's not a pastor of the church. But when you talk to her, you just felt like you're one of the sheep, and a shepherd just patted on you and looked after you and pat you up, and you really feel like somebody you just feel really great because she has that pastoral giftings and that heart. And then you also have the teachers. The teachers will be people who teach the word of God. They have that giftings in them. And to have the capacity to teach. And then you have also another spiritual gift is service. Maybe serving people. They actually have that in them. They just love doing it. They love being on the ground. They love serving God. And they love doing a good job. And there are lots of different type of service. Some of the service might be is more of, you know, like Adam with the sound. And then you have Renee doing it now. And Sonia was here this morning. So you have a lot of people doing those sort of things. But you also have service people who might be Christian counselors. They love serving God in a way of they just have their heart. But they might have actually ministry of serving in a sense of helping people emotionally healthy. So that's part of service too. And then you also have another gift is exhortation. They are really great of people, comforting people and encouraging people and strengthening people. And they know how to use words to actually help people. And their language is different. And their mindset are different. And when they see somebody struggling, they'll have that patience. They will just come alongside them and they'll say, come on, you can do it. This is what the word of God say. And it comes in, they will actually be able to, when they're reading the Bible, they will be able to pick out all those words that when God is encouraging us and say, do not fear, be encouraged. And they will use those words, and then they use the word of knowledge a lot of the time to encourage somebody else. And God used them in a great, great way. I mean, when I'm going through a hard time, somebody who come alongside me and speaking those words helps a lot. Then another gifting is giving. They have a giftings of having money. And they have a gift of giving away money. So they see it as God keep blessing them and then they keep giving it out. And it's a great gifting, you know, it's a great gift. A lot of us would say, I would love to have that gift, but we're thinking of, I'd love to have it so I could have it, you know. So those have that giftings, they will possess ability to go and give beyond the normal giving. A lot of people will say, oh, giving to the church, the tithing 10%. I've done my bit. That's done now. But the people who have that gifting, they just have a different mindset. When they see somebody have a need, they just give it. But it's almost like whatever they give, God keep replenishing their pots or their wallets or their bank accounts. It just never go out, it's just always more coming in. And that's a great blessing. And I receive a lot of blessing from people who have that gift. Thank you, Jesus. And then another one is leading. This is ability to actually really lead. They have a mindset that they know how to speak. They know how to lead people. They have almost like that body language. They can lead. And people will just follow them. And they're very good at managing or maybe the fundings or even the strategy, the planning. And they will be very good at administration. And then you have another gift thing is mercy. This is us. If we think of it as a spiritual gift, all of us are called to have a mercy heart. All of us. We can sit here, listen to teaching, but if we walk out of the room, somebody of this room, and somebody's outside lying, having a need, and we all just walk past them because it's lunchtime, ready to go home. There's something wrong with that picture. So we are all called to have a mercy heart, but some people just have that extra. They will really go out of their way, and they just have that compassion. Just really go for it. It's a special giftings to help the poor, the sick. And when I'm thinking of that, I was thinking of Mother Teresa. And God gave her that. It's a spiritual gift for sure. And then you have word of wisdom, somebody who will have a message, a divine wisdom from God to speak and carry those words that will help in our situations. And then you have also word of knowledge. A lot of the time we will need that for whether it's teaching or prophetic words or God just give you a word about somebody and you can use it to help them. And those are great giftings as well. And then faith. Again, this is one of the things. All of us are called to have faith. This is what we do. As believer, we have faith in Christ. But some people have a spiritual gift as faith is. This is actually the faith, a strong faith, a special faith that removes mountains, casts out devils, demons, and when they heal the sick. It's almost like a bigger level of faith. And then you also have gifts of healings. We all pray for each other for healing. But when God actually gives you a gift, you'll be able to, you will just, that will be your special blessing to the church. I remember listening to a teaching. I was wanting healing for myself. And it was the preaching was talking about if you have enough faith, you don't need medicine. And I'm thinking, I was so fired up listening to them teaching. I was thinking, okay, I'll stop taking the medicine. So and for the next 3 days, I was like, I was going to die. And the last bit of it, I was screaming. I was in so much pain. I was like, Lord, I thought you died for me already on the cross and you carry my pain. Why am I doing that? And I just heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, yeah, why are you doing it? I didn't tell you to not take the medication. And I just say, okay. I was fired up from hearing somebody else's message. But that wasn't what God told me to do, to not take the medication. So I thought, okay. But one of the things that God also, the Holy Spirit also said was, he actually talked about the gift of healing. And I said, oh, okay. I suppose I need somebody who has the gift of healing to pray for me. And I'm thinking of, do I have it? Or I don't have it? Nobody have ever said that I have that gift. So I started to take the medication again. And then, but within the next 6 months, I was in different meetings. Some of them were in our church. Some of them was outside. Three different people. None of them are related. And they all gave me a word of knowledge, saying God is going to use me to heal the sick. And I'm thinking, okay, does it mean I have the gift? You know, but that was like a seed form. Like I said a few weeks ago, we can get word from God about the giftings, but we could receive it as a seed form. What are we going to do with it? So one of the person who prayed for me, I was asking for prayer for healing, but it was JC actually turned on saying, God want you to start praying for other people and start using that gift. And I said, okay. So I know that there's a difference of when we do pray for each other, but sometimes those are spiritual gifts as well. And we need to grow, walk with God in it. And then we also have gifts of healing, working of miracles. Again, we have seen a lot of miracles when we pray for each other, but some people will have that special gift. But I believe that all of us could have it. And then we also have visions. That means they see in the spiritual realms. And they see visions, they see the almost like this. Like the Bible said that our battle is not flesh and blood, but in the spiritual realm. So they can see what God is doing. They can see angels. They can also see demons. They can see different things. And then they can use those as God use it. When you see something, God will tell you what you can do about it, how to pray, what you should be praying. And Jonathan actually shared with me that he saw a vision, so he was awake. And he saw demons trying to attack him. But he also saw two angels, fought them. And one of them was trying to really stay there. But he knew exactly what God was saying. Like for me as a mother, for a teenager, I could keep nagging them, don't do this, don't do that. Don't go into this, don't go into that, don't do. I was tired of myself, hearing myself keep saying, don't do this. So in my prayers, I was be praying, Lord, help them to see. Help them to connect with you. Help them to know how powerful they are in the kingdom of God. I will use the language of, in prayer language of, help them to know the evilness of the world and that they will choose you. They will choose you over all things. They will live their life for you. So when he has that visions, he said it was scary. The demon was horrible. But when he saw the angels defending him, he will know that some of the things in the world, in the reality of it, you might think it's okay. But when he see the demonic side of it, it actually helped him. He doesn't want to do any of this, but he know God is on his side. And it actually made him say, okay, I'm going to choose God. So that's saved a lot of hours of me as a mother nagging. One vision, that's great. And then you have discerning of spirits. So you have Holy Spirit, but also obviously you also have a lot of demonic spirits and a lot of things that is not good. And to be able to have that discernment is great. And as a church, we need that. As a body of Christ, we need that. I know that we have been in churches that don't believe in the Holy Spirit working in this stage. It's only in Acts time. We have now just the Bible. So I know people who... we have been to churches that are not aware of... demonic spirit, I suppose. As parents, we want to protect our kids. But when we don't have that ability to discern what is behind this, what is happening, that's more dangerous. I would rather to know the giftings and the ability and how powerful we are in the kingdom of God, then we can live according to that way and we can actually protect our kids better that way. Because in our prayers, we could actually use those as tools. And I believe those sort of giftings are for all of us. And just, I have to pray very carefully about this one, sharing this one. But I do want to. It might be very challenging. We were in a church that didn't believe that. And that was years ago. Jonathan wasn't even born yet. We had this young man that was in the church. He was 17, 18, I can't remember his age. He came to the church. He gave his life to Jesus. He loved God. He really loved God. He would go to all the prayer meeting. He was absolutely on fire for God. Steve used to get up at 6 every morning with another man. They would have prayer meeting every morning for an hour before he go off to work. And that young man would join them too, quite often. And he'll be in Bible study. He wants to know. He wants to really walk with God. But there's past wounds and past hurts. It was never dealt with. Just because he was speaking all the words and he was doing all the things, he was loving God. And you can see it. But without the discerning of the Spirit, without a word of knowledge, we didn't know what was going on inside him. When he was 21, he was in jail. Why? He liked kids in the wrong way. So as parents, as a church, we want to protect our young people. We have all the kids that went upstairs. I don't want to live in a world ignorant of what's happening. I want to be empowered and know that how powerful we are in Christ. And the gifts are, it's the spiritual gifts are a presence from God for us to live a way that actually, that we can live in a way that protect us and defend ourselves. That we are safe because we have those spiritual gifts. So word of knowledge are great. Dreams are great. I have had dreams that God revealed things to me. And then I will pray against it. Or I pray for certain people. And I see the shift in their direction of their, where they're working for good. And there are some people didn't. And then they carry on going the way that they want to go. And I just saw it coming. But there's nothing I can do about it because they weren't willing to listen. So spiritual gifts are great. Just because somebody is loving God, somebody actually saying all the right thing, somebody actually going to all the meetings, does not mean everything is good. We need to have the ability to discern the word of knowledge, to discern, to have discernment, to protect each other. And that's what that unity is. Unity is not just everybody keeping everybody together. Sometimes unity actually means that somebody might not be good for us. To be able to have that giftings protect each other. And then we also have the gift of tongues. You have praying in tongues, but some people say that praying in tongues could be a different language. I know Kyle shared that he was in a prayer meeting and he was praying in tongues, as he normally does, a lot of us do. And he ended up, one of the guy that turned up in the meeting, I think it was a leader's meeting, and one of the guy was just happened to be there, and he turned up to Kyle and said, "You are speaking my dialect." That was really rare language that hardly anybody knows. And it was actually a word that God used Kyle to give it to this other guy. But it was actually earthly language. So I believe tongues can be all of them. And then you also interpretation of tongues. And then you also have the spiritual gift of helps, basically helping people. They have a spiritual burden and a God-given love for the needy and afflicted. And then you also have the gift of administrations, which is somebody, it's more of to do with government too, or leading. And they have the ability to lead and guide the church through storms and difficulties. So those are all great gifts, and some of them, I haven't even mentioned all of them yet. There is another gift is intercessions. Another gift will be, even Old Testament talk about gifts, dreams, interpreting dreams. Those are spiritual gifts. And also, spiritual gifts and music. You can, have songs or words, even poetry forms, writings from God. Those are all spiritual gifts. And also you could have, spiritual gifts of craft and art. I remember reading in Exodus, somebody when before they were building the tabernacle, God gave this one person. The first time I read it, I was like, I want to be that one person. He has the gifts of working with gold and silver and bronze and wood carving and all of those things. I was thinking, that's amazing. Imagine that, because I love art. I love craft. So I was thinking, that's awesome. I would love to talk to him when I go to heaven. So all of those gifts, we need them. We need all of them. In fact, I would say that, please, if you're in a place of, I don't think I want any gift, I would say that, please be in a place of saying, I want to have the gift for all of us, to everybody operating gift. Why? Because when we have everybody functioning, using the gift, we have greater ability to protect each other. We have greater ability to move forward in the understanding of each other. We have greater ability to live in a way of defending ourselves against the evil, against the enemy's plan. It is actually a great tool for spiritual warfare. Each of those gifts, if you really think about it, when we could use it to bless somebody else, is actually a form of spiritual warfare. That instead of letting the enemy do whatever he wants in our lives, we're actually using, being active about it and saying, I can do something about it. God has made me powerful. God has made all of his children powerful, and he's given all of us gifts to build together, to be able to be there for each other. And gifts are great. I mean, it shouldn't be just the leaders have gifts. But imagine all of us have different gifts. We can protect each other. We can actually advance together better. We can actually grow together better. And then encourage and comfort each other. So those are great gifts. But also, another way of it is, sometime when we don't have that, with ignorance is not blessed. Because ignorance is just, we have no idea what's going on. And the enemy can do whatever he wants. But when we have spiritual gifts and operating spiritual gifts, we can actually bless each other, and we could grow stronger. With a stronger in our spiritual strength, and knowing who we are in Christ, instead of allowing things to just happen. But we can actually be strengthened. Now, speaking about spiritual gifts, I would also say that how important it is for us to be healthy emotionally, especially for past wounds and hurts, because without those sort of healing, the spiritual gift can become a weapon against each other. You know, sometimes we could actually have a sense of somebody has a struggles or whatever it is, but I don't know what it is. But if my emotion is not healthy, but I sense something is wrong. So what God has given me as a spiritual gift could actually became a weapon against somebody else. I hear a lot of that on the internet teaching or TV channels. People keep talking about Jezebel spirit or, I don't know. What are the other one? Absalom spirits. And they started calling other believers with those spirits. When we started thinking of those terms, we started thinking that another believer is our enemy. We started thinking them as the one with the demonic spirit. And we started thinking them, instead of brothers and sisters in Christ who struggle with things, we started actually trying to protect ourselves from the other person. And those are very dangerous path to go when we are not healthy ourselves and started laboring another person who are demonic, or laboring another person who has this and demons or that demons. And I hear a lot of teachers do teach those sort of things. So I would say that let's be careful with our language, how we label another believers, how we talk about believers, because it is a dangerous path, and that is not love. One of the big things in unity, in all of those spiritual gifting, if you read all of those passages, all of them say love. So how can we love better when we keep calling the other person demonic? Another believers, we can't. So we need to deal with our past wounds. We need to deal with anger's issue or insecurity. We need to deal with rejections if we can't handle rejections well. We need to deal with pride, jealousy, unforgiveness, or Fear is a big one. And we also need to deal with understanding about who we really are in Christ as a child of God. And also really understand who God is. God is bigger, so much bigger than what we actually know and understand. Otherwise, we will always be living in a way of trying to protect ourselves, trying to protect ourselves in our own way, instead of knowing God is the one that's protecting us. God has us covered when we actually live under His protection, knowing who we are and knowing who He is. There's a great example of in Luke 9:51-56, when James and John, they wanted to go through one of the Samaritan village, and the Samaritan didn't want them there. And James and John said to Jesus, "Will we just call down fire to destroy them?" That's a great example of somebody who can handle rejections. They're trying to say, through the village, "Jesus is great. He has the good news. He's going to save you." The village say, "We don't want you." They can't handle that rejections. So what's the answer? "Yes, God is going to destroy you. Let's call down fire, destroy you." We need to be able to handle rejection well. We need to be able to handle when people doesn't want what we have for them, instead of getting angry. So all of those emotions, we need to deal with them and handle them. As Christian, I know more Christians who are so angry at people, angry at the world, angry at people reject the gospel. And then they just, you might not be saying the word of "let's call down fire to destroy them," but you have that same feeling, "You're going to go to hell." You know, those sort of feelings, those sort of understanding in our mind is not going to help somebody to want the good news. Because all they experience is our anger or our not being able to project who God is. God is love. God is patient. Thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talk about spiritual gift. And they talk about spiritual gift again on chapter 14. Right bang in the middle is chapter 13, the love chapter. Talk about what is love. It's not a passage for wedding, even though it's great. Love is patient and all of that. It's great for wedding. We need them in our marriages. But we need it for the body of Christ. The spiritual gift is a blessing for each other. We need to be able to love well. To be able to love well mean we need to be able to deal with stuff within ourselves first. I can't make somebody else deal with their stuff. I can only deal with my own stuff. So when we deal with our stuff, we can love better. So the last point I want to make is how important it is to be able to use the spiritual gift well, to be a blessing to others. We need to deal with our stuff. We need to learn what does it mean to love. We need to open ourselves to know what does it mean to love. What does it mean when God says He loves us? What does it mean when God wants us to love others? And that is when they say in the New Testament, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord our God with our heart, our strength, our mind. But to love others. To love each other as we love ourselves. All of those passages talking about spiritual gift talk about love. Also talk about unity. To love. It also say pursue love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It say pursue love. It didn't say pursue spiritual gift. Our core is to pursue God. Pursue love. And those giftings will come to us. And God can trust us to use the spiritual gifts. A lot of the time we might see people having the spiritual gift, but they don't know how to love. Sometimes we're saying, shouldn't God wait until they actually can love better before they get the gift? God doesn't actually work that way, unfortunately. Are we wrong or is God wrong? A lot of the time I actually don't know some of the stuff inside of myself until I started operating on the gifts. Let's say fear. The first time I actually asked God, "Lord, give me discernment to sense the spirits." And then when I experienced the first time, I had so much fear for a week. I was like, I can't handle this. It was a discerning of spirit. I was in a friend's house, actually a pastor. It was in another country. And we were touring around the house, and then we were going down the basement, and suddenly it hit me. I sense, almost like also have a vision type of thing. I almost like all these children's crying and screaming, and it hit me, and I could actually hear the cry. And I had so much fear, and I shared that with at least, thank God it was a pastor friend, and to say, and they just said, let's pray. Let's clean the room, spiritually cleansing the room. And I said, okay. So it was good for me to have that, because they obviously didn't sense that. And then we prayed, but it's good for me that they were so calm about it, because I was like jelly. But that was the first time. But then after that, when you experience it, you're thinking, okay, actually I'm more powerful. When God opened that sense, spiritual sense to me, I actually said, I actually can do more for God when I actually be aware of things. That's great. But sometimes when we don't understand it and other people use those languages, we might think they're crazy. Remember going with a group of people praying and people are touching the rocks. I can hear the cry of the rocks, and I'm looking at them saying, you are crazy. But then when people have those open spiritual senses, they know how to pray. It's a tool for us to pray, to intercede, to pray for what God is doing. All of those are blessing. But until I operate in that gift, I didn't realize I have that much fear. So a lot of the time when we actually receive what are those giftings, it's good for us, but it's also revealed to us things within ourselves that we need to deal with. Things within ourselves that actually I have fear. I actually didn't know I'm actually more powerful. So I can actually learn how to grow in that. And that's a great place. So the last thing is, when we say, how do we love well? I think that one of the things that turning point for me was really learning how to love well within our family first. When we love well within our families and or your close circle of friends, then we can actually love better. Because it's hard to love somebody I don't really know very well. But when I can start to loving well, and there are times when I couldn't. I just block off emotion so much. So one of the turning point for me was the book of the 5 love language. I remember reading it years ago. And it's learning about how to give love and how to understand when people are giving me love. The 5 love language is physical touch. It could be a hug, handshakes, a cuddle, when you physically have that relationship that you could have cuddles. And then you have the husband and wife physical touch. But then obviously with people who are just friends, you tap on the shoulder, you know. Those are all still physical touch. For some people who love language is touch, that means a lot for them. And then you have words. So that means words mean a lot to them when you say nice things to them. But when you actually criticize them, it actually means it devastates him. And then you also have gifts. So they love buying you gifts, or they love receiving gifts. And then act of service. So somebody who loves it when you do things for them. Cook dinner, Steve said. And also quality time. So somebody actually call you out for a cup of tea and coffee. They love having quality time. So that means a lot to them. And they love doing that. So 5 of those. But when I was reading that book, God spoke to me and said, God's love is actually all of them. We can all love well with all of them. It's not just one. One of them may be something that we're good at. But when I was reading, when I'd done the test, I have 4 of them are quite similar numbers. And then I have one of them is almost like bottom to 0. It was the word of affirmation. And I was thinking, I'm like, oh, right, okay. Apparently, if you say anything nice to me, I don't really care about that. And God spoke to me about that. When I actually see it that way, I actually do not value when God speaks to me encouraging words. And I've actually spoken with quite a few people when they've done the test. The one that is actually the lowest on your score could actually mean that you're actually losing out a lot from God because you don't know what love is in that area. So somebody's physical touch, if they're at the bottom of it, maybe they've been abused. And they need healing from that. So there is online tests and lots of online tests and lots of online tests with even spiritual gifts as well, online tests with your emotional health. Some of them are really great. And this one is, there's five love languages is really great too, for within your family, for within yourself, even your spiritual growth. When God spoke to me about the word, I pray, God started, I just pray to God, start revealing to me when people say things to me, that is actually God using them to speak to me. And change my language when I talk to people. And that changed because I have submitted and repented and I submitted my word to the Lord, to his service. And that changed our families, changed my relationship with friends, changed my relationship with my parents, with my siblings. It changed a lot. So now when the last time I did the test, maybe last year or 2 years ago, all my five love languages, all the numbers are almost the same. So I don't have one specially, because when God spoke to me, God's love is perfect. I can receive all of those from people and I actually understand them. That's their way of love, showing love. And I could give all of those as love because I want to be God's love agent. Because that's a great spiritual warfare tools that we have. Spiritual warfare is not about fighting. Spiritual warfare is actually being who God is. For our environment, for our families, for people. If somebody's being nasty to me, my warfare is I can love them. I can still have a good word. I can still have an encouraging word. I can still speak what God wants me to say. I don't have to fight them back. I don't have to be nasty back to them. I don't have to be angry when somebody is nasty to me. That's my spiritual warfare tool. And those are great when I can actually use it. And let all of us walk in that place and let God use us to be love for others and to use the tools, the spiritual gift for others. We might be all in a different place in our spiritual walk. Some of them are still seeking who God is, or some of them have new believers. Some of them don't understand anything about the spiritual side of things. And some of them might have been walking with God a lot longer and understand the spiritual side of things. But we all need each other. Let's grow together. Let's learn together. And let's encourage each other. And love each other well. And forgive each other too. And not hold on to things. So that's my message. I'm going to pray. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you that spiritual gift is a gift from you. It's not a sign of us being better Christians or a sign of us we are better, but it is a sign of your love for us. And you have given each one of us gifts because each one of us ourselves, we are a gift to each other. We are a gift. Each one of us, we are a gift in the community. We're a gift in our family. We're a gift in our friends, to our friends. We're a gift to this church, Dungarvan Community Church. And we glorify your name that you're the one that gives us gift, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, I pray you will put that fire within ourselves to desire to serve you well, to desire to want the gifts, to desire to open ourselves to say, Lord, I want whatever gift you have for us. Because my friends, my family, my community, my church community need it. Because I have a purpose in life. So Lord God, I pray that you put that in each one of us, Lord God. That we are blessing to our families, that we're blessing to each other. Open our spiritual senses, Lord God, that we are better equipped and we're better able to defend ourselves, to know that you are our defender, and to be in a better place of informed, and to be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm instead of just going along, not even knowing it. The enemy is real, but we know that you are greater. And you're the one that equip us to be powerful. So Lord God, as a people of God, we just pray, make us powerful for you. Make us to know you more and make us to know who we are in your kingdom more. Give us, open our spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual senses. Open our senses. Give us that ability to know and not walk in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And we are, God has given us love instead of fear, spirit of fear. God has given us love, power, and self-control. So, Lord God, we thank you for the gifts. We praise you. We glorify your name. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in us. Let us, as a body of Christ, glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. With that in mind, let's declare. This community need us as we declare the word. We're not using our own ability to say that we will do this work, but God is going to do the work, but it's God is going to use us. God is going to use us to do that work. And our spiritual gift is good for ourselves, good for our church, good for our family, good for the community. Let's declare that and pray that as a prayer. By your spirit and not by power nor by might. We declare the greatest outpouring of God's love ever seen in this town, country, and continent, demonstrated through the church, the marketplace, and healthy families. We see many souls coming into the kingdom in Dungarvan and its surrounding areas, and godly leaders rise up here and within each nation of Europe to seek righteousness, peace, and joy. We pray, Lord, for this our town, our country and continent, and peace for your people, Israel. Amen and amen. So be encouraged and be challenged. And let your prayer life continue to seek God and seek him and let him use each one of us for his purpose. Amen.